First Epistle of Timothy in chapter 1. First Timothy 1 and verse 14. But the grace of our Lord surpassingly overabounded with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Faithful is the word, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the first. And then the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 7. Then I said, Lo, I come. In the roll of the book it is written of me to do, O God, thy will. In the second epistle to Timothy, chapter 2 and verse 11. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 11. The word is faithful, for if we have died together with him, we also shall also live together. If we endure, we shall also reign together. And then last of all, Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. Let your conversation be without love of money, satisfied with your present circumstances, for he has said, I will not leave thee, neither will I forsake thee, so that taking courage we may say, The Lord is my helper, and I will not be afraid. What will man do unto me? I've been struck recently with the thought of purpose. I've seen a lot of turmoil in the world in various ways, politically and legally in this country. We see things falling away from God's standards. We see things changing. And not only just that, we see it also in our own lives, don't we, as well. Things never seem to stay constant. I remember reading recently of Joseph. And he must have wondered sometimes where his life was taking him. And yet there was a sense of purpose in his life. Because God was in control.
Yes.
I was just thinking that our ultimate example in everything is the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's something wonderful about looking at the Lord's life in particular. And I don't mean necessarily reading all the things that are said about him, although they're wonderful too in the epistles. The most wonderful thing I think that I've realised recently is reading his actual words that he spoke and that he said, which show out the heart that was behind them. And you know, in his life, we can see whatever we want. If we want to know how we're supposed to love, we can look at the life of the Lord Jesus. If we want to know how we're supposed to forgive, we can see in there, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. If we want to know how to live a life that is separate from the world, we find it ultimately in Jesus. And in everything we want to find, we find it in Jesus. He lived a life that was perfect, and as the scripture says, he left us a model that we might follow in his steps. That as he walked, so also ought we also so to walk. And so we follow his life. And I was just thinking of the sense of purpose he had in his life. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He was born into this life with a purpose. His life was purposeful. As somebody once referred, and as I think it's a lovely thought, that his death was the accomplished decease. It was a death, not an accident, not a misfortune caused by unfortunate circumstances. But as the world rushed around and tried to find various excuses for putting the Lord to death, he was there for a purpose, and he was coming to die. And his life was purposeful. And I think in the second scripture I read, we get that too, don't we? Lo, I come to do, O God, thy will. And that was the bent of his entire life, to do the will of God. And you know, every moment of his life, there was prayer as he spoke to his God. He walked in accordance with his God. Might I say reverently, as a man, he worshipped his God. And he was every part of his life showed that, as he served his God in faithfulness. You might say, you want an example of a faithful life? Look at Jesus. You might have said, but he was God manifest in flesh, and yet he was an example to us of what man was to be. And if we want our example, we look at him. I come, O God, to do thy will. And what was God's will? God's will was that he might make this salvation for sin himself in the offering up of his life spotless to God. You know, somebody once pointed out that the purpose of God's, of the Lord's life, was not specifically to save sinners. It was to do the will of God his Father, and that involved the saving of sinners. You know, and I just think that's an example for us too. Things change often in our life. And my thought was, the Lord's life was full of purpose. He came here to do the will of God, and he walked in accordance with that will every moment and every step of the way. And the Lord's able to say, God's able to say at the end, that he'd found his delight in his blessed Son. But then I also read the scripture then in 2 Timothy. It's another faithful word, and as somebody once pointed out, it's good to get to know the faithful words that Paul talks about. And this one here is another one that if we have died together with him, we also shall live together. You know, I think it's a wonderful thought that our life has a purpose. We can think of it as before, we were born into this world and we were predestined for glory. We've always had a purpose in that sense, and only partway through our life have we come to apprehend that purpose. But we have a purpose now as believers, and that is to live with Christ in eternity. That's our future. We have a destination, and that's where we're going to be. We're going to be with him, the one who spoke those blessed words, the one who said, "Peace be unto you," the one who so blessedly drew alongside those two discouraged disciples and said, "Ought not the Christ to have suffered?" And he opened up all the scriptures to them, the love that was behind those actions. And he drew near unto those who belonged to him. We're going to be with him. We're going to see him actually as he is. There's no one more wonderful. I've become more and more convinced of this every day. No one more wonderful to spend life with than the Lord Jesus Christ. We might have ones we're attached to here and love greatly here, but they can never be with us in the same way. And be with Christ. And that's our purpose. And I think if we get our minds set on that purpose, we have our mind on the things that are coming to us, things that are above, on the person that's there, then our life suddenly takes on a completely different purpose. That whereas things in life seem to change and sands seem to shift and things never seem to stay in the same place, that we have that pathway that we're following that's purposeful because we're linked with one who's beyond this world. And you know, the only sense of purpose, the only sense of security we have is in him. We might think maybe sometimes in our foolishness that things are secure here or they're secure there or this will never change and I've got this now. But we don't have that. Our only security is in Christ himself. And the only definite thing is at the end of this life we'll be with him. And that's a secure future. And then I read then in Hebrews, I just thought that having that purpose in our life changes our focus. We have satisfied with our present circumstances, for he has said, "I will never leave thee." You know, sometimes we talk about God's plans, and we hear people talk about God having a plan for our lives and following that plan. But you know, I think we'll never really appreciate that plan unless we really have a true and real knowledge and relationship with the person behind it. We won't understand the plans and purposes of God unless we come to an appreciation, a real, true, living appreciation of the care and the love of the one that planned them and made those purposes. And to be satisfied with your present circumstances sometimes can be hard. And yet God has got those purposes of his. And they're his plans. And he cares for us and he loves us. And his desire is for our blessing. Not maybe necessarily material blessing, but spiritual blessing. And he's already secured that eternal destination. He's told us where we will be. And that is definite. You might say the only thing that's really changeable is a short time between now and then. And yet we know that the end is secure. We know that the salvation is secure. We know that the one who's made the plans and has purposed all things is never changing. And if we're resting in him, what more secure foundation can we have than to be engaged in the purposes of God, And you know, we touched on it this weekend, I think, when we thought of worship and we thought of glorifying God. And somebody once drew the example and said, man's purpose is to worship God. And they said that man is like a glove. A glove has been designed to fit on our hands. And if it gets filled with other things, it won't fit on our hands. And man has been designed, you might say, to worship God. And having given up that purpose, man has found other things to worship and has never found satisfaction. But when coming to God, we find our purpose. It's worship of him. The Father seeks such as his worshippers. And when everything else is gone, suddenly it's as if we've been designed for God to fill us. That's why the Holy Spirit can fill the believer so easily, because everything else is gone. It's like the hand going into the glove. It's what it was designed for. And man has been designed for the worship and glorification of God. It's what we'll be engaged in for eternity. And I suppose merely a just desire that we might be encouraged, that we might think on our purpose and be engaged in the glorification and worship of God, not only in eternity, but right now. Not just on a Lord's Day morning, but every moment of our lives as we live and walk in the adoration of God. It's not just something that we do now and again, but we walk it and we live it. And we abide in it. And he abides in us, and we abide in him. And thus we are one. We just be encouraged.
Amen.